If you will, this morning, take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of 1 Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter number 6. 1 Timothy chapter number 6. I want to spend some time in this chapter today because it's the way the Lord is leading. I got a little bit nervous when Brother John started talking about Timothy. I said, surely he ain't going to stomp where I'm wanting to stomp this morning. Amen. But he was in the first chapter of 2 Timothy. And the Lord willing, I'm going to be in the last chapter of 1 Timothy. First Timothy chapter number 6 and verse number 1. Let as many servants... Seems like in our teaching and our preaching, that word just keeps coming up, doesn't it? Servants. Servants. What a high calling it is to be a servant of the Lord. Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and His doctrine be not blasphemed. And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them, because they are brethren, but rather do them service because they are faithful and beloved, partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. Now, evidently, in Paul's day, as he's writing to the young preacher, there are those that had already begun to teach contrary. He said, if any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ and the doctrine which is according to godliness. Here's what Paul said. He said he's proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself. You know, it's important in the ministry not only to know who to hang out with. It's important in the service of God for all of God's people to know who to fellowship with, but who not to fellowship with. Amen. Who to get away from. Yeah. Amen. And the Bible said here, don't go there. Withdraw thyself from that outfit. Look at verse 6 now. There's the word but. So it's completely contrary to the last three verses. But godliness with contentment is great gain. You know what I love about the Lord? What I love about His family? The Lord puts things in a perspective that everybody can get in on it. Did you hear what I said? Everybody that's in the Lord can be godly. And everybody that's in the Lord can experience great gain. Everybody that's in the Lord can be content. But you see, everybody in this world is not going to have the riches of this world. How many already realize that? I told somebody I'm working on my second million. They said, is that right, preacher? I said, yep, give up on the first one a long time ago. Amen? And so everybody's not on an equal plane as far as this world goes. But I'm going to tell you something right now. As far as God's people goes, we can all live godly. We can all be content. And we can all experience that great gain in our life for the glory of God. This is what Paul said in verse number 7. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain, that's where this message was birthed in my heart, those three words. It is certain. It is certain. We brought nothing in this world, and it is certain that we can carry nothing out. Amen. I was talking to Brother Brian, and this just in conversation, but he's fixing to move. They're going to move. I pray to God my next move will be that way. Amen. I'd hate to think about moving that stuff this way. Amen. Because when I move that away, I'm going to leave all that stuff behind. Amen. But but we're talking about moving, and we've got, every one of us have got stuff, and we've got things. But you know what? When we move out of way, ain't going to be no trailer needed. Ain't going to be no U-Haul needed. Say amen. Ain't going to be no moving company. I met some guys down at Walmart the other day, and I thought they worked for Walmart because they had them braces on their back. I said, "You guys work for Walmart?" I was going to find out if they knew Bob. They said, "No, we're with a moving company out of Tampa, Florida." I said, "What are you doing up here?" I said, "Moving somebody to Tampa." Amen. You say, "Preacher, what do you mean? Moving. But when we move out of way, we're not taking one thing with us. Sister Geraldine and I forgot your sister's name. Phyllis. Sister Phyllis, Brother Joe, just come in. Okay, honey. Now you can enjoy the service. Amen? Amen. You say, "Preacher, you shouldn't have stopped and done that." She's concerned about her brother. Now she can enjoy the service and know that Brother Joe's all right. Amen? He's late, but he's all right. I'd rather have Brother Joe late any day as not at all. Somebody say amen. Amen? Amen. I appreciate that. Now, let's read on a little bit. And the Bible said, in having food, how many's had some food this morning? Praise the Lord. And raiment. How many's got, well, praise God, I think everybody's got clothes on. Amen. Let us therewith be content. But they that, watch this now, will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. Can I say something to you? In Kingsport, Tennessee, this great town that we live in Bloomingdale, there are some men drowning this morning. They're drowning. You say, "Why, preacher? Why are they drowning?" Because all they're living for is to be rich. Amen? Watch what the Bible said. The Bible didn't say for money. That's not true. But the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God. Now let me say this to you this morning. Somebody going to say, "Well, preacher, this is Paul. He's a man of God. He's writing to Timothy. And he's a man of God." How many knows if it applies to the man of God, it's going to hit the whole crowd this morning? Say amen. If it's good for the man of God, he said, "Flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good witness, a good profession before many witnesses. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot." And then the Bible said, "unrebukable until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in times he shall be, show, who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man has seen nor can see." The Bible said, "to whom be honor and power everlasting." Amen. "Charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. That they do work, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science falsely so called, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. Grace be with thee. Amen." God will help me this morning. I want to preach on this subject for a little while. Some certain truths for uncertain times. I've used this title before and preached out of an entirely different text. But last night as I was reading, I looked at that little phrase right there. It is certain. Let me say this by way of introduction. We are living in uncertain times. I said we're living in uncertain times. Now listen, we're living in uncertain times financially. We're living in uncertain times morally. We're living in uncertain times economically in this nation. Amen. I'm telling you, the future of America is very uncertain as we stand here this morning. Amen. I will say this. I believe what the preacher said last week. America is not going to face judgment. America is already under the judgment hand of God. And I believe it's going to get worse if we do not repent, if we do not return. Amen. And so we're living in uncertain times. Now, I don't know. I'm not real up on Wall Street. Amen. I try to keep my mind on Main Street and glory. Amen. A street that's pure, transparent gold. Amen. Just one. Amen. Goes all the way through that city that's 1,500 miles out of way and out of way and out of way. Amen. I try to keep my mind and my affection set on things above, not on things on the earth. But I will say this. I believe something's happening. And I'm not a real whiz when it comes to economics. I'm really not. But how many remembers when it looked like in the housing industry, everything was booming, but it was looking like something that it really wasn't. I know people personally that experienced that housing bubble and lost their home. Are you listening to me? Made payment after payment after payment after payment and lost their home in the middle of that. You say, preacher, I don't know what that has to do with this message. I'll tell you what it has to do. You keep seeing the Dow going up. You keep seeing the stock market going up. I'm telling you what this chapter's saying to you and I is we better not put our confidence in those arrows that are going up. Amen. We better realize, my friend, that we're living in uncertain times, and there's some certain truths that you and I can lean on in these uncertain times. There are some things that we can trust. There's one that we can trust, and He's given us a way that we can trust in these uncertain times that we live in. I want to ask you something. Now listen to me carefully. You know, I praise the Lord for our home. But if I lost my home, would I keep serving Jesus? I praise the Lord that I have not one vehicle, not two vehicles, not three vehicles, but four vehicles. Amen. I praise the Lord for the vehicle. That ain't counting the four-wheeler. That would be five if you want to count it. Amen. I praise the Lord that the question is, if I lost my vehicles, would I still want to praise the Lord? Would I still want to serve the Lord? Well, the answer will be found in where is my heart? If my heart is in my substance, amen, then my heart will be crushed if I lose my substance. But if my heart is in my Savior, then my heart will go on because He never changes. You say, preacher, where can you see that in the Bible? Well, the one that comes to my mind right off the bat's Job. Amen. Job didn't just lose his farm. Job lost his family. Job lost his finances. Job even lost the fellowship with his wife. Are you listening to me? She said, honey, why don't you curse God and die? And he said, you speak as a foolish woman. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He said, preacher, what do you think God's trying to do around Bible Way? I'll tell you what I believe He's trying to do. Prepare us for the impending doom that's coming upon this country. You say, preacher, what do you mean? I'm telling you, beloved, we may need one another before this thing's over with like we haven't never needed each other. I'm telling you, Sister Brooke, we may not be getting up food for the community. We may be getting up food for one another. Amen. You say, preacher, that cannot happen. I'm telling you, my friend, that dollar bill is not worth what that dollar bill used to be worth. And there can come a time when it's not worth the paper that it's printed on. We need to know there are some certain truths in these uncertain times. Let me give you some things that God has spoke to my heart about. I'm not trying to knock the joy out of you. But I'm going to tell you this. Let me see if I can quote a little bit of scripture right here.
Paul said, though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewing day by day. How many knows this old carcass is perishing? Amen. The older I get, the more I realize it. Amen. It's perishing. But he said the inward man is renewed day by day. Here's a man that's been beaten. Here's a man that's been shipwrecked. Here's a man that's been stoned and left outside the city for dead in perils of countrymen. Here's a man that's been through it. But he said this. He said, though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. He said, for we look not at the things which are seen. We look at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Amen. I want you to know, thank God. God, we ought to be looking for a building of God, eternal in the heavens, not made with hands. And if we're looking for Him, I believe, my friend, we can be blessed and know of a certainty. There's some certain truths in these uncertain times. Let's look at the chapter together. I just want to look at some things this morning, possibly this evening as well. I don't know how it's going to go, but I want you to see some things that the Lord spoke to my heart about. Look here, and the Bible said, let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor. I'm going to tell you something right now. That man of God stood in this pulpit last week, and he said something about the President of the United States. He said he needs to get right with God when he's on the wrong side of same-sex marriage, and I say amen. He said he needs to get right with God when he's on the wrong side of abortion, and I say amen. But I tell you what, I thank God. The man of God didn't quit. He said, we need to, how many remembers that right there? We need to pray. Amen. You say, preacher, you mean you need to pray if there's somebody that's on the wrong side? Well, let me just say it like this. You need to pray, especially if somebody's on the wrong side. Amen. And the Bible's talking about servants here. I'm afraid that in our Baptist churches sometimes, there's a disrespect for the office. Amen. There's a disrespect for the office of the presidency. There's a disrespect for the office in the Senate and the office in the House of Representatives. And I believe sometimes we're not praying like we ought to for those men. Amen. They're on the wrong side of the issue. How many believes God sets them up? How many believes He has a purpose in that? Listen, God over and over and over used the heathen to chastise His people in the Old Testament. You can read it over and over and over how that He used heathen to chastise the people of Israel for their disbelief and for their disobedience. The Bible's talking about here, listen, our boss. If we're a servant, we got a boss. We ought to count that master worthy of all honor. That the name of God and of His doctrine be not blasphemed. How many believes blaspheme is a strong word in the Bible? Amen. And if we're not putting in a good day's work for the boss, then the Bible said the name of God's being blasphemed. Amen. And we ought to have that respect. And listen, I'll say this. Here's one thing that we can pray for in America is that we would realize that up yonder in Washington, D.C., that we're not here working for those folks. They're up there working for us. Amen. That would turn it right around if they would understand that they're servants to the country. And my friend, not servants to themselves. There's certain truths concerning our submission. We cannot expect the heathen to submit, but you and I can submit to our Savior. We can submit as a servant to the one that God has placed over us. The prisons are full. They're overcrowded. They're running over. You say, preacher, what's going on? I'll tell you, I've said this over and over in prison. You can trace it back. I'm talking to our young people right here because I love them. You can trace that prison sentence back to a disrespect and disregard for the authority that God placed in their lives. They didn't respect their parents. They didn't respect their pastor. They didn't respect their Sunday school teacher. They didn't respect the teacher. They didn't respect the principal. They didn't respect the law. They didn't respect the policeman. They didn't respect the judge. And there they are, locked up, amen, many of them, for the rest of their life because of a disregard. I'm telling you, it's a certain truth in these uncertain times. You and I cannot afford to disregard what God told us as servants of the Most High God. By the way, listen to me carefully right here. If parents are living in rebellion, it can be no wonder if the children are living in rebellion. Amen. A lot of them will live in rebellion even when the parents aren't living in rebellion. But it can be no wonder if the children live in rebellion. And Paul is saying to Timothy, he's saying, listen, Timothy, if you're a servant, he said, let your master be worthy of all honor. At the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. But, and this, and then he said this, and they that have believing masters, let them not despise them because they are brethren, but rather do them service because they are faithful and beloved, partakers of the benefit. In other words, it could come down to where you're working for somebody. You say, well, he's my brother in Christ. That's true, but he may be your boss at the same time. And we need to have that submission under that man that God has placed us under. That's a certain truth. We don't like some of these truths, but they're still certain. God's not changing them for me, you, this generation, or anybody else. Amen. There are certain truths in these uncertain times. The Bible said, if any man teach otherwise, consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, the doctrine which is according to godliness. Now, let me just say this right here, and I'm going to move on. How many remembers the mid to late 1960s and the 70s? How many remembers? Now, how many remembers what it was all about? Amen. You know what it was about? You know what we're reaping now? We're reaping what we've sown. Amen. We're reaping calling the police officers pigs. Amen. We're reaping the disrespect for the authority that God has placed in our lives. My friend, I'm not going to go into any detail, but right here on our own church parking lot last night, things going on that are ungodly before God. There's no respect for the house of God. There's no respect for the things of God. I'm telling you. We can't expect the world unless they see that submission in us, submitted to our King, submitted to our boss, submitted, amen, in the home, that wives are to submit to their own husband as unto the Lord. The husband is to submit himself. Christ is to be the head of the husband. And there's nothing any more beautiful in the world than a home the way God wanted it to be. And I don't believe there's anything uglier than a home that's out of order before God. Amen. It's ugly in the eyes of God. There's certain truths concerning our submission. Well, watch this secondly. And I believe this is where the heart of the matter will fall this morning. There's certain truths concerning our substance. Think about this. The Bible said here, but godliness with contentment is great gain. Let me make a statement. If you want to feel wealthy, how many would like to feel wealthy? I mean, listen, there's nothing wrong with being wealthy. Amen. But if you really want to feel wealthy, let me tell you what to do. Start counting all the things that you have that money can't buy. You say, preacher, you mean to tell me that'll make a man feel wealthy? You need to go with me some places. Right, we were at one yesterday where if you set down the best steak, I'm talking about the best cut, the most tender, the best prepared steak in Kingsport, set it down, take a knife and cut it up, and take and put a baked potato with it and a nice roll with it. The man we visited with cannot eat it because he cannot swallow. Are you listening to me? I'm telling you, we ought to thank God for our appetite. We ought to thank God for our health. We ought to thank God for our clothes. We ought to thank God for our wife. We ought to thank God for our children. We ought to thank God for our church. We ought to thank God for our country. We ought to thank God this morning for the things that we have, that money cannot buy. Money can't buy it. No telling how much money's already been spent in this man's life trying to bring about a better condition. But listen, God is still on the throne. God is still on the throne. Certain truths concerning our substance. He said godliness with contentment is great gain. How many believes that scripture over there where it says, in everything give thanks? For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I believe this morning that, listen, sometimes we lose our godliness when we lose our thankfulness. And when we lose our thankfulness, we lose our joy. You know what somebody said one time? We need to live like this. We need to appreciate everything and expect nothing. Think about that for just a minute. Amen? How many of us would be honest enough to say at some point in our life, maybe you have to go back to your childhood and maybe you don't, but you opened something. Maybe somebody got you a gift and you were just disappointed. I mean, how many would be honest enough to say, hey, you know what our problem was? We was expecting something. Say amen. I'm going to tell you something right now. When I met Jesus, I got a whole lot more than I ever expected. Amen. And He's never changed. And I believe with all of my heart, when we're thinking about our substance this morning, we ought to think about the truth concerning our substance. He said, it's certain we brought nothing into this world. The Bible said in another place, as naked as a jaybird, I'm paraphrasing, when I come in, and I'll be naked as a jaybird when I go out. Amen. I'm telling you this morning, we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain that we can carry nothing out. The Bible said, having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. I'll tell you this morning, these are certain truths that'll help us in these uncertain times. They'll help us in these uncertain times. I thought about this last week. In the good old United States of America, all around the world, sergeants and captains going through life, Brother Rick, just like they've been going through for years and months and years. And Brother Jeff, they walked up to them and handed them a slip and said, you can go home now. You say, preacher, what happened? I tell you what happened, something unexpectedly happened. I'm going to tell you, we've got our head in the sand if we don't understand that this thing's going to trickle down. Sometimes our problem in America is we don't let it worry us. We don't let it bother us until it affects us. Say amen. But it's a coming. It's a coming. And we better be content with what we've got. And we better live godly concerning our substance. That's a certain truth for these uncertain times. Job said, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. What do you have when you live like that? You have unspeakable joy. In verse number 9, look at it. He said, they that will be rich, that's all they live for. They fall into a temptation and a snare and the many foolish and hurtful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith. And pierce themselves through with many sorrows. In verse 6 and verse number 7, I see unspeakable joy. In verse number 9 and 10, I see untold sorrow. Look with me, if you will, over just a book at 2 Timothy chapter 4. And verse number 10. For Demas hath forsaken me. Paul didn't just tell us that he had forsaken him. He told us why. Having loved this present world. Now wait a minute, preacher. You're telling me that a man can fall in love with the world and fall in love with the substance and go away from God? That's exactly what I'm telling you. Let me show you something here in the Word of God. Turn with me, please. The Lord's been dealing in my heart. I'm talking about personally. In 1 John, let me show you something right here. The Bible said in verse number 15, love not the world. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15. Brother Gale, you remember when these scriptures were preached from often. Often. On a regular basis. There was a woman said to a preacher one time, said, preacher, I'm getting sick and tired of you preaching on things. Why don't you just preach the Bible and stop preaching on things? He said, well, honey, come back tonight and I'll see what I can do. And she came back and he read his text. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Amen. You say, what was wrong with that preacher? I tell you what was wrong with him. What we need a lot more of, he had a spine. Say amen. Things are killing us. Brother John, you want to know why we ain't praying like we used to pray? Things has taken up our prayer time. And I'm not picking on Brother John. He brought it out in Sunday school. Got to get back. Well, in order to get back, there might be something I need to shed. You say, preacher, I don't like that. I'll tell you, it'll help us if we'll take it. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. This is strong language. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. I didn't say that. I read that out of the King James Bible. God said, preacher, you fall in love with your stuff if you want to, but you ain't going to love your stuff and love me at the same time. God knows. Every one of us has got more than we need. Say amen. And I'm not fussing at us. I'm trying to, my friend, listen, Paul is getting ready to leave the scene. He's leaving a warning for the young man of God. He's saying, son, if you ain't careful, you'll get your eyes off of the main thing. I'll tell you something right now. I love our church. Some of you guys that are close to me, you men, and our deacons, and you know I've got some things in my heart I've already shared with you. But I'm going to tell you this right now. Beloved, this place better never become about this place. There's nothing wrong with having a nice church. There's nothing wrong with having a place to fellowship. There's nothing wrong with having a nice parking lot. There's nothing wrong with flying Old Glory up the pole out there. But I'll tell you this, we never need to get our eyes on this place. Because this place, listen to me carefully, is going to burn one of these days. It's going to burn one of these days. We need to get our eyes on the real place. When we get to living like that, we'll be like Aunt Pearl. Somebody will come along and want to go to that place with us. Amen. Oh, friend of mine, I appreciate Jesus speaking to our hearts this morning. We all, listen, if we're not careful, you say, preacher, what do you mean? Let me lay it out for you. Everybody, it's out there under the shelter right now. I don't park it in that spot that says pastor. You want to know why I don't park that car y'all got in that spot that says pastor? I'll tell you why. You know that other one's got 247,000 miles on it. And if I detail that thing out a little bit, it'll still look pretty good. But one of the reasons is I tried to keep it out of the sun. That sun will destroy a vehicle. Somebody say amen. I find myself, Brother Ralph, listen, I don't worship that thing, but I find myself when I go park it, I want to park it where somebody won't beat it all to pieces. Say amen. I don't want to pull in, Brother Kyle, between two cars where there's that much room on both sides. That equals a dent in the door. It ain't got a dent in it nowhere. You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say there's nothing wrong with trying to take care of what you've got. But don't ever let what you've got come between you and him. Don't let it come between you and him. The certain truth concerning our substance, Miss Eve, that house that was built in 1963 that we have enjoyed these 20 years together is going to burn, and the fire will be so hot, brick and all will burn. The foundation will burn. The Bible said the earth's going to melt with fervent heat. You know what? Listen to me. You know what our problem is in this generation? I didn't say yours. We got our whole life tied up with things that's going to burn. And we forgot about the souls that are going to burn in hell without God. He said, now, preacher, you believe I ought to wash my car? Yep. I had a guy in West Tennessee. My truck, I beat my truck all to pieces when I was getting them rock. Before that, It actually looked like a new truck when I, and it already had over 200,000 miles on it. But I went over in Yuma and picked up them rock about 3 tons at a time. And some of them rocks would be slimy. And I'd pick them rocks up. And sometimes I'd get to go over the side of the truck with it and it'd slip out of my hand. Oh, there went a big old scratch. Well, you know what? Second scratch wasn't near as rough as first one. I just realized you ain't going to take this thing in the mountains and get rock, amen, without a price to be paid for it. Amen. I was out in West Tennessee. We was going into the prison in the evening. I'm talking about our substance. Am I down there where we live yet? I was out there in West Tennessee, and we didn't go into prison till 1 o'clock. So I got out there one morning, and I washed my truck the day before. And I got out there and waxed it. And the man got up preaching in the prison. He said, yeah, some of these men, he said, they're worshiping their trucks. Does that look like a duck's back? Because that was like water on a duck's back. That didn't bother me near a bit. Now, I'll tell you something right now. If I'd waxed my truck and hadn't read my Bible, it'd have bothered me. If I'd waxed my truck, Brother Gary, and hadn't talked to the Lord that morning, it'd have bothered me. If I'd have laid out of prison when I was supposed to go preaching to wax my truck, it would have bothered me. How many believes, my friend, listen, the Bible said, listen, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Here's another word for things, and all these things will be added unto you. There's nothing wrong with having things. What's wrong is when things have us. Nothing wrong with having things. Some of the greatest Christians I know in this world, God has loaded them with benefits. And I'm going to tell you something right now. They're not a dead sea. In other words, God's pouring it in. They don't just keep pouring it in and they just keep swelling up. They're just a channel. God pours it in and they pour it out. God pours it in and they pour it out. God pours it in. You know what I wanted to stand and thank God for publicly this morning? That God don't pour no more in than we can handle. Say amen. Some of us might say, well, I wish He'd pour it in on me. Maybe you can't handle it. Amen. I thank God. I thank God. Paul has given this young man some instruction. He said, listen, there's a certain truth concerning your submission, Timothy. Timothy was a submitted young man. But there's a certain truth concerning your substance. The Bible said this in 2 Timothy 4 and verse number 10, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. There have been times in my life when I'm going to be honest with you. Let's get down there where the rubber meets the road for just a minute. What if, Brother John, I'm just looking at you. What if, Brother John, you and I, logged every minute of our time last week? How many of y'all log your checkbook? I mean, you do, don't you? How many believes our checkbook would tell a lot about where we live? Say amen. Not you, we. They tell a lot about where we're at, amen? Tell a lot about what's important to us. What if we logged our time? What if we logged every minute of every day? What if we did that? You know, I like Andy Griffith. But Andy Griffith can become a bad thing. Somebody say amen right there. How many knows it's easier to sit and watch Andy Griffith than it is to read the Bible? You don't have to be watching something wicked for it to be a bad thing. Somebody help me. What if we logged those hours sitting in front of that thing? What if we logged the hours? I'm not talking about minutes. What if we logged the hours in recreation? What if we logged the hours? My friend, listen, I'm just saying this morning, God is saying to us as a church, if we want to get ready in these uncertain times, we need to abide by these certain truths. And we can be ready. We can be ready. I'm going to quit for this morning. But I want to read you something that blessed my heart. It blessed my heart. I'm going to read this to you, and then God has blessed our church for years in our missions program. God is still blessing our church and our missions program, and we're able to expand somewhat. Some of you may not know it, but on Wednesday night now we receive an offering. When I came here, we didn't receive an offering on Wednesday night. But I just suggested it, and everybody got on board, and it looks like we'll be taking on our fourth missionary this year in August. You say, "Preacher, what are you trying to say?" I'm trying to say you could go some places and suggest taking up another offering when you're already giving, amen. And they'd kick and they'd scream. And they'd say, "What are you talking about?" Listen to this right here. Listen to this. A wealthy industrialist from America visited a medical missionary in Africa. From early morning, he shadowed the missionary as he treated a seemingly endless number of sick people. The industrialist was greatly impressed as the doctor performed an intricate and serious operation, after which the American visitor asked this question: "What would be your fee if you had performed that same operation in America?" And the missionary said, "From $2,000 to $3,000. How many knows that's been years ago? I mean, that might get you the tissues and the aspirins nowadays. Amen. "What did you receive from the operation that you performed?" The medical missionary replied, "Not one penny." He said, "My pay is to do God's will in the place where He wants me to be." The industrialist mused, and this is what he said: "What a forfeiture of the opportunity to win fame and amass riches in America." Can I tell you something about that medical missionary? He wasn't worried about fame in America. He was worried about faith in the God of heaven. And he was not worried about riches in America. He was concerned about laying up for himself treasure where the moths can't get to it and the thieves can't steal it and the rust can't corrupt it. I say unto you, thank God Almighty, listen, if we have men and women, and we do, that are willing to go, surely we ought to be willing to send them. Amen. Surely. Listen this morning. There's some certain truths. Number one, concerning our submission. I'll say this morning. If we're not right in the area of submission, we'll never be right in the area of our substance. How many say amen right there? In other words, everything that we have, if it's certain, Brother Gale, that I brought nothing into the world, is that certain? Is it certain that I'm carrying nothing out with me? Is that certain? Somebody help me. Then would it be fair to say that between coming in and going out, everything I have is borrowed? Amen. Everything I have is borrowed. It's borrowed. It doesn't belong to me. It doesn't belong to me. Concerning our substance, certain truths. Concerning our submission, certain truths will help us through these uncertain times. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the privilege to preach the Word of God today. Lord, you were trying to help Timothy. You didn't want Timothy to get his eyes off of souls. You wanted Timothy to keep his eyes on the Savior, to keep his eyes on the souls of men, to walk in the Spirit. God, I pray today that you'd help us, Lord, to be thankful for what we have, But God, to realize someday, as we read the Bible, we believe someday soon. I can remember, Lord, what it was like to buy my first car. I can remember how proud I was of that car. How I took care of that car because I had to pay for that car. Lord, at that time, I didn't even know You. I didn't even have a prayer life. I didn't even read the Bible. But I took care of that car. God, help us. Help me, Lord, if I would allow the things of this world to pull my heart away from the things of God. God, I pray this morning, Lord, as the choir sang, "How great Thou art," I saw people rejoicing. I saw people worshiping. And God, help us, Lord. We'll never rejoice while our eyes are on the stuff. We've got to get our eyes on Thee. Help us, our Father, to be prayer warriors. Help us, Lord, today. Lord, You said there in the Word of God, "What is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" God, there may be somebody in this building today, Lord. If they died today, they would lose their own soul. Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Father, I thank You for that missionary that we read about that gave his life to help others. Lord, I thank You, Lord, for those today that are going into dangerous places, AIDS-infected places. God, to help others to know Jesus. God, only heaven will reveal their reward. Help us to be praying for them. Help us not to be consumed by the stuff. Help us not to love the things of this world. Help us to love our Father and to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness.